1 Corinthians chapter number 11. As we hear Wednesday night before Easter, most of us would be considering and thinking about where this plays into the story about the passion, the week, the passion of Christ and everything like that. And this is the night I believe that Christ would be having his the last Passover, and he would be with his disciples, and this is when he would go out into the garden, and he would be betrayed in the garden, and all those different things. So it's in this night. I know lots of times people will say, well, that's why they call it Good Friday, because that was the day that Christ was crucified. Well, I believe he was crucified on Thursday. It gives it a chance to have 3 days and three nights. No matter which way you dissected, he couldn't have been crucified on Friday and had 3 days and three nights in the tomb and in the grave. So that's why we, some people, if you wanted to have three full nights and three full days, you'd have to go to see him be crucified on Wednesday. But it's not something to, I don't think it's something to argue about. But when you put yourself inside the story, tonight would be the night where he institutes the Lord's Supper. It'd be the night he walks out of that room and he teaches some of the greatest things ever taught in the world. And you see that in the book of John. You see the intercessory prayer in John chapter 17. You see John chapter 18, that them trying to capture him in the garden. And just a fantastic thought process of all the different things that happens this night. And because of that, we're taking the week off of Galatians, and we are going to look at something that has to do with the story and dealing with this night, or as it leads up to it. And as prayerfully considering what God would have us to preach on and think about this evening, we have the title of tonight's message is What We Can Learn from Christ About Trials. What we can learn from Christ about trials. Now, when we think about this story here, we remember the victory, don't we? I mean, we think of the empty tomb. We remember the resurrection. We say that is our source of hope. There is hope because of the fact that he's gone. But you can imagine that those days preceding the empty tomb, and those days between when he died on the cross to the tomb, man, that was a time of fear. That was a time of great anxiety. That was a time of just great fear of those disciples. And I can only imagine what they were going through for those 3 days. Their expectations were not going to be met. Their what they thought was going to happen about Jesus taking and ruling the kingdom. All those things, none of those things happened the way they thought they was. And their Savior, their Messiah, who they had followed for 3 years, who they thought was the Messiah, he was dead and he was in a tomb. And most of them didn't even realize he was coming back. And so we look at it from that way, the great victory. But we're not going to look at tonight with the disciples and what those others went through and how to overcome fear. Instead, we're going to look at how Christ dealt with his trials. I know Brother Mark preached on Sunday night responding, how to rightly respond, or something similar to that. And in the weeks in the past, we've talked about stewarding our trials. And I think we can learn something tonight to see how Jesus Christ dealt with this trial that he went through. He was God, but he was just as much man. He was man and God at the same time. And he experienced, he went through the agony and he went through this trial. And I want to see a little bit about how he went through these things. And tonight we're going to look at six things. I don't know if we'll get through all six. We're going to go through them quickly. But six different things that can help us remember and things we can learn from Christ about how to deal with trials. And I think this is important. Why you say it's important? Because we all deal with trials. We all go through things. We all can be overwhelmed. We can all have times in our lives where we face trials and difficult times. And you know what happens then? We lose perspective. We lose perspective, and when we lose perspective, fear and anxiety grip our hearts, and then we start doing dumb things. We become like Peter. He became fearful and anxiety overcome him, he became afraid. He denied Christ. We become like Thomas, who even though his 10 other guys who'd walked with him for 3 years said that they saw the Messiah, he says, I'm not going to believe. I'm not going to buy into it. Not unless I get to see him. Not unless I get to touch him. He wasn't going to get his hopes built up again. And lots of times when we have trials and we face testing and fears, man, everything goes out the window and we just do not act as a Christian should. And that's why it's important. It's important that we respond right. But here and tonight, we're going to look how Christ dealt with this and even take a step farther when it comes to our trials. The first thing I want you to think about as we consider Christ, his focus, his final hours before his crucifixions, I want you to remember, number one, God is in control. Remember, God is in control. What can we learn about Christ during these trials? He knew God was in control. Look what your Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Look what it says in verse number 24. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said." Now, we went over those verses on Sunday night, and I even paused when it said he gave thanks. And that's the point I want to look at. He knew God was in control, that despite the fact that he was getting ready to be offered up as a sacrifice, to face the face something that no other man has ever faced. And everything he had gone through, from the beatings to the fact that he was dying on the cross, to have all of mankind's sin placed upon him. No one had ever gone through what Jesus Christ went through. And he knew all this was going to happen. And you know what he did? That night, he gave thanks. So how can a man do that? How can a person do that? Is when they realize that God is in control. And that the Bible tells us that in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Say, "Pastor, how in the world can I give thanks when the trials are going on?" And I can tell you, hey, start thinking about, you know, all the good things that happen. But that's not the reason why we can give thanks. The reason why we can give thanks is because God is in control. And all the good things, they do add up, and they seem like helping when bad things happen. But we can always give thanks because we know God is in control. And I love how God is in control during this whole thing. But you think about those hours when he was in John chapter 18. It's one of my favorite parts of that night when he's there and these big, huge group of soldiers came out, and they came out, and Jesus says, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus Christ Nazareth." And he says, "I am." And they all just fall over. I mean, if you go and you read in John 18, it says in verse 6, "As soon as he has said unto them, I am he, they went backwards and fell to the ground." And I know some people think that they just tripped. I don't. I think the power of God just kind of knocked them all over and says, "Hey, look, I'm going with you, but I'm going because I want to go, not because you're going to make me go." And I think these trained soldiers, I don't think there's any way they could have just kind of fallen all over. I think that they fell over because the power of God knocked them off their feet. And he says, "Look, as you go, remember this." I also think they did this that way they let the disciples go and they would not have any problems. But when you see this trial, he's facing this great trial. He gives thanks. He knows that God's in control. Think about the power that's available to God. Christ even said when Peter went and tried to chop the guy's head off and hit his ear, Christ told him, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" He's telling Peter, put away that little sword. If I wanted to use something, all I had to do is call on God and God could send me 12 legions of angels. And he says he could take care of this whole problem just like that. But you know what? He was able to deal with his trials because he knew God was in control. And you say, "Pastor, he was God." I get that. But what can we learn? You know, one of the things we can learn when we're going through a hardship and a trials, and, you know, we can just look at our prayer list and see that we have trials and tests. We can just talk in just a normal conversation, talk about the hardships and the things that we're facing. But if we remember God is in control, it's something that we can handle and deal with. So what do we learn from Christ about our trials? Is number one, remember God's in control. Is remember, you got the idea that these, I think somewhere up where in the hundreds of men came to capture him and he knocks him all over. He says, look, God, he had unlimited power at his resource. And the truth is God is at our resource too, but he's gonna do things according to his way. Not only is remember God's in control, second thing, remember others are learning from you. Remember, others are learning from you. You say, "Pastor, I don't get this," and I'm hoping that you can get this because this is really important. Because when you go through a trial, people are going to watch you. You say, "That's not fair. That's not right." And it probably isn't, but how many of us, as we're riding by that car accident, somebody just got smashed up and they're sitting on the side of the road, what happens? They all slow down. Now, they don't all slow down because there's glass in the road. They slow down because they want to look at the thing. You have everybody's head is sitting there staring. Those poor people's cars just got smashed up. They're sitting on the side of the road crying, and what are we all doing? We're all watching as they go by and seeing what's going on. And that's what people do when it comes to our trials sometimes. They want to see how you're going to react. You say, "That's just not fair." Well, hopefully they're doing it because they want to pray for you so they can be a blessing to you, they can minister to you. But that's not always the case. Many times people are looking to you to see how you're going to react, to see what's going to happen in your life, and whether or not what you teach and preach and say, whether or not it's true. And you say, "Where do you get that from about Jesus?" Well, you think about this. These disciples at that moment in time didn't really have a clue what was going on. They had little tidbits. Jesus had already told them. He had given details, but they're still a little confused. They're still arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. But they would look back on that night. And I can only imagine what they would be as they looked back on that night. They would remember everything that happened. They would remember how he broke the bread and how he gave the cup. They would remember how he dealt with Judas. They would remember how he dealt with Judas in the garden. You know, there are people that were watching Jesus that night, and maybe not even in that moment in time, but you see what it says in verse 24. He says, and when he had given thanks, once again, they're going to remember he gave thanks. He broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. You know, he was showing them, people are going to be watching you as you go through a trial. People are going to sit and try to remember what you have said in the past. One preacher put it this way, your greatest sermon is you in the valley. Your greatest sermon is you in the valley. We must remember at times of difficulty that others are watching and they're learning from us. And just to kind of fast forward through the whole thing, think about those that were watching. Imagine those disciples as they're sitting there and they watch everything that Jesus does that night. And as he goes and he walks, he talks to them, he tells them everything. He talks to them about Peter, and Peter says he's never going to deny him. And Jesus tells them, look, you are going to deny me. You see how he treats him in the garden. Remember when Jesus goes over and tries to wake him up and says, couldn't you watch it for me for 1 hour? How Jesus dealt with them. Dealt with them as they saw Judas coming to him and Judas wanting to betray them and Judas kissing him on the cheek. And what does Jesus call him? He calls him friend. And throughout this whole scenario, Jesus is teaching these disciples. These disciples maybe at that moment in time are not watching him to learn of him, but they're going to remember how they treated him. But you think about it, it doesn't even stop there. You think about through the trial. You think about how before the trial and before the crucifixion, Nicodemus was a disciple in hiding. Joseph of Arimathea was probably one of the religious leaders in hiding. But because they watched Jesus, what happened? They got a backbone and they said, look, I'm a believer. I don't care who knows. It doesn't even stop there. While on the cross, Jesus is not worried and concerned for himself. Who does he talk to? He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You say, Pastor, what's the big deal? Well, who's the one that gets right with God? The thief that heard and watched. Earlier, what did he do? Earlier, he railed on him. Earlier, he gave him, he picked on him. He messed with him. But you see him repenting and crying out to God. You even see the centurion, not because of what Jesus was before, but because of what Jesus did that day and because of all the different activities that happened that day. He said, truly, this must be the Son of God. See, you must remember during your trials that people are watching you, and you know, those people that are really close to you, the ones that we try to impress the most are our children and our families. They watch us. And not trying to hurt anybody's feelings here, but sometimes when we pray and we ask God to help our families, they're the ones that are the most forgiving because they don't understand what you're going through. They're watching you, but when you say, hey, I think I'm going to skip church, or I think I'm going to do this, or I think I'm going to do that, they're going to say, oh, yeah, they're going to agree with you because they're seeing you go through this trial, and they don't know how you're going to get through it. But if you depend on God and allow God to see you through it, that's when they're going to see. So what's something we can learn from Jesus during this time? We can remember, number one, that God is in control. And number two, we can remember that others are learning from you. Others are watching from you. And I tell you, that is a huge, huge benefit to keep things together. Those people that we're trying to reach, those people we're trying to help, those people we're trying to win, those people we're trying to change. You know, God sends you through something. If we can stay faithful to God, God can use that as a testimony. It's easy to talk about. So much harder to live. But when you're going through a trial, unfortunately, that's when people watch you a little closer. We don't watch those people as they're riding by the roads. We watch them when they had that car wreck because we want to see what's going on. So be careful. Third thing, I think during these lessons, during this night, during this leading up to the cross, we need to remember to examine your heart, or remember to examine our heart. Say, why in the world would Jesus had to examine his heart? No, we're not talking about Jesus, but we're learning from the example. And what does Jesus tell these men going up to that night? What do we learn here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28? It says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You know, one of the things we can remember from the Lord's Supper is the time of examination. What did it talk about in Matthew 26, 21? Jesus says, verily I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? You know, during this night, this was a time of self-examination. This was a time to say, you know, what's going on in our hearts and what's going on? And even Peter that night, when he really finally saw what was in his heart, you know, he went out crying. You know, Jesus himself had said, all of you are going to be offended by me. But they said, no, none of us will leave you. But their hearts were revealed unto them. When you go through a trial, it is a great time to examine yourselves. It's a time where we don't have to wait for the Lord's table. And trials are a powerful motivator to examine our hearts, confess our sins to God, and ask God to cleanse us from our lives. We do not need to get up so worked up and amidst and caught up in the trial that we neglect the most important thing that the trial may be for, is for us to purify our heart and purify our work that's going on in our hearts. I don't know what trial you may be going through. You might not be going through any, and that's good for you. You need to pray for us or pray for those that are going through a trial. But one of the things you do and you remember and you learn from these stories is that you is a time to examine your heart. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles now and go to Luke chapter 22. Luke 22. There's another thing I think we can learn, and we can learn from Jesus Christ here in this story, is in Luke 22 that night, or even probably in the early morning hours now, as he's getting ready to be arrested, what does he do? He goes and he prays. And this is, we can see how passionately he prays. And from the upper room, Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane. And what did he do these last moments and times before he was going to be betrayed? The Bible says he prays. Let's look here what it says in chapter 22, verse 41. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, then kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthened him, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now we read those words and we see the emotional turmoil he went through, but what is our greatest resource when we're going through a trial? It's prayer. We have access directly to the throne of grace. But we worry, we become stressful, we become fearful. But instead, we should bring our needs to the one who understands, cares, and can actually help. Too often, we are really good at telling other people about our problems when they can't do anything about it. And sometimes it's in the form of a gossip. But you know what? God here showing us an example we can learn. Jesus is going where? What is he doing? He is praying. And we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If we really want to learn something from Jesus and learn about what Jesus, when he experiences trials, something we can learn that God is in control. And that's the reason why he can give thanks. That's the reason why he told Peter not to worry about fighting. God was in complete control. We can realize the reason why he did the things he did is so that others could learn of him. But also, we can learn that we need to pray. We need to know that God is the one that we need to turn to. And we see in this the agony that he prayed in and he prayed with. We see that this is one of the greatest things we can learn. As we go to Easter, many of us face trials and hardships and tests, and we get all excited about the tomb, and we should. We should be excited about the resurrection. That is the signature. That's the sign. That is it. We know we have hope because of what Jesus Christ did. But while he was in his trial, what did he do? He prayed. He didn't just say, lay me down to sleep. He prayed earnestly to God. He needed. He begged. He pleaded. Another thing is not only do we remember to pray, remember to surrender to God's plan. Remember to surrender to God's plan. You know what? I don't know many people that sign up for trials. I don't know many people that say, hey, Lord, give me cancer. Or, Lord, let my family go through this. Lord, let me hit poverty. You know, I don't know many of us that actually beg for a trial. I know a lot of us that ask to get out of that trial. And I am not holier than now to say that I relish every trial that I go through while I'm going through it. But I know that I must be surrendered to God's will. Remember to be surrendered to God's will. As Christ drew near to the sufferings of the cross, he prayed that there might be another way. But even as he did, he submitted to the will of the Father. Now here's the thing is, there's nothing wrong with praying about getting out of the trial, by asking for the thorn to be removed, to be escaping from the problems that you're having. But we must always remember to be submitted to the will of God. He's saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. The Father's plan in Jesus' suffering was our redemption. I'm glad he surrendered to it. God has a plan in our suffering too. And that plan is for us to become more like his Son. Remember, the Bible tells us we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. But that next verse says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed into to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. In the midst of our pain, we sometimes forget that God has a purpose and that he promises to use every aspect of our lives for his good and for his glory. So when we consider what can we learn from Jesus' example, what can we learn from the trials that Jesus faced, because he faces horrible, horrible circumstances for us, we can learn that, remember, God's in control. We can learn to remember that others are learning from us, and we can learn to remember to examine our heart, learn to remember to pray. We got to learn to surrender to the plan God has. Amy Carmichael once said, in acceptance lieth peace. And when we are in times of difficulty, it is easy to allow our minds to spin out of control. We grasp for solutions as we worry, doubt, and fear for the worst. Where often we must instead just say, Lord, let thy will be done in my life. You know, trials are not easy, but God has a purpose in them. Let's go ahead and take our Bible now in Matthew chapter 26. Another spot in this last night as we look at it, and as we consider tonight being that night, if Easter was, that first Easter was this coming Sunday, that tonight would be the night that he'd be sitting with his disciples. Tonight would be the night he'd be praying into the early mornings. Here's something that the Lord helped me with a little bit, and so hopefully I hope it can be a blessing to you. And I don't want you to be confused about it, but the last thing is, remember there are some trials you will face alone. Now let me tell you ahead of time, I know that God says he'll never leave you or forsake you. But I'm talking about there are some things and some trials you're just going to have to face alone. There are some decisions you're going to have to make for yourself. There are some trials and some dark times where even though your friends with all good intentions can't face certain things with you. They can be there with you, they can pray, and they can, their flesh is willing, but their spirit is weak. And I'm not saying that the Christian life is a lonely life, because it's not, because you'll have the Holy Spirit of God. But there are people that sometimes people are not going to understand what you're going through. They're not going to know how to pray. And there are some times that you just got to rely on God. And I think he does this on purpose at times to teach us and show us. But look what it says here in Matthew 26. I want to read this little bit, this story here. And when they, Matthew 26, verse number 33. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. So here's the beginning of the story, is that Jesus said, all of you are going to be offended. He says, Peter says, no. And now Peter's saying, no matter what happens, Jesus, all these other guys are going to leave you, but I'm going to walk through this trial with you. Whatever you're going to face, I'm going to be right by your side. And sometimes we have friends that say that. Sometimes we put our confidence in people. But we see, as most of us know how the story goes, in verse 34, Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. So these are the three that are supposed to be closest to Jesus during this time. He brings these three and says, it says in front of these men, what happens? In front of these men, he becomes sorrowful and very heavy. They see the burden he has. They see the agony he is going through. Verse 38, then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful. This is Jesus saying to them that he's looking for something. He's asking for him. He says, even unto death. And he asks one simple request, tarry ye here and watch with me. This is what he's looking for his help with. But he's trying to teach them something here. He knows that they're tired. He knows that they're going to sleep. But he's trying to teach him something. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter. So he wakes Peter up and he says, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? He's teaching Peter, even though you talk big, when I ask you to do something simple for me, you couldn't even do that. And he's teaching him something here that I think is important that we learn in verse 41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There may be people in this life that says they're going to walk through this trial with you. They're going to be with you every step of the way. And yes, there's nothing wrong with good friends and people you can depend on and lean on. But these people might fail you. Their intentions may be good, but they come to the spot that even though they're interested and willing to help, you must always remember there might be certain things you just have to walk through alone. You must learn to depend and trust on Jesus. And that's what he's teaching these disciples. He says, Look, Peter, you said you would die with me. You said you would do all these things. You would never leave me. You never forsake me. He says, You could not even watch for 1 hour. He goes back in verse 42, and he went away again a second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And here's the story. Here's who's praying with Jesus right now? No one is. He's walking through this alone. And I know loneliness is something that is a reality. And when you're going through a trial, sometimes the hardest thing you can do is you feel like no one understands what you're going through. That's why we need to learn how to pray. There are not going to always be people that can understand what you're experiencing, what God is allowing you to go through, but you have a God you can turn to. Keep on going. He came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. And then, verse 45, then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. No, I don't know how to help you when you go through your trials as much as just saying that you go back and you look at Jesus and throughout this night and all throughout the scourging, all throughout the dealing of the false trials, all you go put him on the cross, even the dealings with the tombs, he was honest, he was truthful, but he had grace and mercy throughout all of it. And in our trials, sometimes we need to hear the truth, but we also need to have grace and mercy. We need to season it with grace and mercy. So you say, Pastor, how do you make this work and how do you apply this to our lives? Is, you know, how are you doing in your trials? Are you really living your life saying, I know God is in control. I know that in everything that comes in my life, I can give thanks in everything. I can say, Lord, I know you have unlimited power. I'm asking and seeking for your help. But Lord, if it's not your will, Lord, let your will be done, not mine. Are we surrendered to it? Are we really learning how to pray? Are we really examining ourselves, seeing what God may be teaching us? Do we really live our lives understanding that other people are learning from the trials that you're going through? And are you ready to face these things alone if you have to? I have some of the greatest friends in the world who sometimes can walk through and are willing to walk through things with me step by step. But there are times in my life that even that I can't explain what I'm going through. And that's when I utterly depend upon God. I don't know what trial you're going through. Nothing wrong with asking people to pray for you. It's good. And in their flesh, they want to do it. I mean, their spirit, they're desiring. I want to pray for you. I'm going to be there for you. But don't trust the men. Trust in God. learn this from these examples, as you see this tonight, as you learn from Christ about the trials of our life, I want us to see that Jesus Christ gave thanks, that he treated even his betrayer with kindness, even told Judas as he was getting ready to leave and betray him, he says, better for that man if he had never been born. He's reaching to him. He's trying to bring him to repentance. He's trying to bring him to salvation. All throughout this process, he's not worried about himself. His focus is on helping others during the trial. Say, who does that? God does. And who are we supposed to be like? God. So as we come to this Easter time, this celebration of the resurrection, the empty tomb, and there's so much more, there's so many other things we can learn about Jesus and dealing with trials, and we might look at some more some other time. But in these, let us remember, it was not always easy. It wasn't easy for those disciples during those 3 days. And when he rose from the dead and God gave them the opportunity to go out and minister and reach the world, he had given them an example. He said, you're going to face trial after trial after trial. But remember how he reacted during his trials. And when we consider tonight what Jesus went through, let's see how he handled his trials. And let's ask ourselves, am I handling my trials the same way? Believe me, our trials can send us off the rocker sometimes. Let's remember God's in control. Let's remember that people are watching and learning from us. Let's remember to examine our hearts to see what God could be teaching us and learn. But also, let's remember to pray. Let's remember, even though we might really, 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 really want to get out of the trial, surrender to his will. And let's be ready, if need be, to have to walk through it alone. Because that's what Christ did that night. He walked through it alone. No one else was there praying with him. I know his father was there. I know the angel came and comforted him. But I'm saying that in your trials, so many times we try to push it on somebody else. We try to blame it on somebody else. We try to say, because you were not here for me, I could not. No. The trial that God's given us is what he's given us. And we have a personal responsibility to react to these things in the right way. Does it help when somebody else is there? Yes. Does it help when your mate comes alongside and encourages you? It helps abundantly. But there are times when you're going to have to face it, you're alone, because it's your trial that God's given you, and God's trying to do something in your heart. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.